off a scripture that I started with last week, which is very rare for me to do that. I believe in bringing fresh food every time you come to the pulpit. I believe that. But I wanted to use this scripture, and I want you to think about when Jesus was speaking to his disciples at his last moments with them. He left this word with them that he said, "All authority has been given unto me," in Matthew 28. "All authority has been given unto me. And go ye." You know, sometimes we forget that. We forget that all authority was given unto Jesus, and then he gave us all authority. And sometimes we don't act on our authority. Are you all right with that? We just do not act on our authority. We want to say we have it, but when something happens, we don't act out our authority. We let the enemy just come in and destroy our homes, destroy our hopes. God gives you a calling, gives you a vision, gives you a promise. And, you know, by the time you leave the altar to the back door, something happens to all that, you know. And that's not what God's plan is for our life. Our plan is to follow God. And that's his plan in our life, is to follow him down the path of the destiny that he's given us. And not anybody here. Everybody, I really do care about you. And I know that no matter how old you are, you have a promise. No matter where you're at with God, if you're just beginning, a little baby has a promise. I know that I prayed for that baby when that baby was still in the womb. Every day of that woman's pregnancy, I prayed for that baby to be highly anointed. I believe that kind of thing. I believe that when I pray that no evil shall befall you or no plague will come near your dwelling, a Psalm 91 blessing, I believe that's going to happen.
Amen. Amen.
So follow with me now in Acts in chapter 1, verse 8. Now remember, all authority has been given unto me. Go ye. And I appreciate what Pastor Steve said today about this same scripture when he was referring to Acts in chapter 1. My wife referring to that. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I want you to realize this, that you will receive power. And you're going to be a witness. Not just locally, not just nationally, but globally. You see, I believe in praying locally. I believe in praying nationally, and I believe in praying globally. I believe that we have that power in us. Praise God. You can be here in California, and you can pray for Haiti.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the same God that's there in Haiti is the same God here in California, because he's that one true God.
Yeah. Amen.
So I want to tell you what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. This is what he said. He said, "I want you to share with the people three distinct points about power. Number one, the power of prayer. Number two, the power of praise. And number three, the power of purpose." We have this power given to us. Prayer is a tremendous part of a Christian's life. Or at least it should be. And if you're not praying, I want to admonish you today. Not encourage you. I want to admonish you for not praying. Then I want to encourage you to get started praying. You know, every morning I wake up and I pray. I pray for my family. I pray for my grandchildren. You know, I firmly believe that prayer moves the hand of God. I firmly believe that when you pray, I pray for this church. I pray for the church in Santa Cruz, the Potter's Hands Church. And I pray for the foundation in Santa Cruz that touches so many lives, you know, and thousands of lives. And pray every day for that. It only takes a few minutes to do that. You get up, you pray. You start your day. You don't get up, start your day, and then pray. You see, you got to know how to get that rolling out like that. And then at night I pray. Every night I pray. I have 300 plus names I pray for every night. Call out their name. Call out your whole family's name, brother. Every one of your family. Everyone. Call them out. Call out everybody's family. Call out every one of your boys and everybody. Call out all the children, these names I have. And if you want to give me names today to pray for, I will put them on a prayer list. Because I believe that there is power in prayer. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. The Bible declares, when you pray, believe. Mark 11, 24. A lot of people pray, but they don't believe. They simply pray. But they don't really believe in what they're praying. I really believe that God hears us pray. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it.
Amen.
Whatever you ask, He'll do it. We got to ask according to His will. You know, you don't want to ask God to shoot your neighbor. You know, you don't want to ask God for something that's not in God's will for your life. But whatever you ask God for, He will do it. The word will in the Greek and in Hebrew simply means choice. He chooses to. He will choose to do it. The little lady pressing through that day, praying and seeking Jesus to get to Jesus after bleeding for 12 years, weak, incapable of her own self to do this. She presses through and she says, if I know, if I get to Him, if I touch Him, He will heal me. Not He can. We all know He can. I know God can do everything, but He will heal. Prayer will make a difference. And when you pray, Jesus said, when they said, teach us to pray, said, when you pray, He said, say. Some folks pray and never move their lips. You can do all that you want, but I love moving my lips because I want to tell God what's going on. As I told you before, my greatest prayer in the world is help. Because if you're serving God, you're going to need help. You know, I tell you right now, if you want to get the devil scared, pray. Amen. You know, how many realize, did you know what's missing right now from our street corners? Phone booths. So now what do you pray? You just have to say that when you prayed, you saw a vision of the devil on a smartphone doing a smart thing, calling for help. But we need to understand that when we pray, He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you pray that prayer and every day, I pray it every morning. That's what I started off with, the Lord's Prayer. And I just simply believe that there's going to be a blessing. The kingdom's going to come. My daily bread's going to be supplied. I don't have to hold aught against anybody. God's forgiven me. Praise God. And the devil's bound. I'm not going to be led into temptation. The evil one has no power. And I'm serving a God who I confess is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. It's His power. His power.
Amen.
Residing in us.
Yes.
Not just somebody else's power that we want to couple onto, but God has given each and every one of us the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes, amen.
The Bible says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You know why you fall? Because you're not praying.
Come on, that's the word, my man.
Watch and pray. You know why you use bad language? Because you're not praying. You know why the devil comes in and has a little graveyard activity in your mind? Because you're not praying. When you pray, when you seek God and you get a hold of a king who's worthy of all praise and honor. The Lamb of God who sits upon the throne, who's hearing praise every moment, and we don't even know what moments are like in eternity because they don't exist. He's always hearing praise and worship. You know, when I hear people wanting to talk about other people, when I hear people want to say negative things all the time, the first thing I think about is not why do they do that. I know why they do that, because they're not praying.
Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When you don't pray, you give the flesh strength. So you fall into doing things you know you should not do. Here's the Holy Ghost. Every time you are about to do something you're not supposed to do, and if you're spirit filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or if you're spirit filled according to evangelical teachings, let me tell you something. Either way, the Holy Ghost is in there and he is saying to you, don't do that. But when you don't pray, the flesh says, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the devil. It's okay to do that. It's all right. It's not all right. How we live is according to God's word. And how we know God's word is we spend time with the word. In the word. Swimming in the word. Being drenched by the word and having the knowledge of the word. You see, the early church prayed in the Holy Ghost. I know this may sound strange to a lot of people today in this modern day that we're living in the 21st century. And can you believe it? It's 2014. We're already in the second month of 2014. It's amazing to me how fast the years have gone by. But when the church used to pray together, and when they prayed, the Bible declares this. The place where they were assembled together was shaken.
Yes.
They didn't call for earthquake recognition. They didn't call for a building inspector to come in and see whether or not it would be able to handle. They prayed. They fervently got a hold of God. And they got God's attention so much. Just like the little widow woman. Jesus never healed her. The woman of issue of blood never healed her. God healed her through Jesus, because she got to Jesus and he got God's attention up in glory. And he wasn't going to wait for his son to do it. He came in there and healed her. And Jesus felt the issue come from the Father through him to her. And he said, who touched me? Oh God, give us that testimony again. Who touched me? Hallelujah. I think it's good that we pray, because we need to pray to keep yourself.
Amen.
All the time we're always trying to pray for everybody else. You know, you ought to pray for yourself once in a while. Because prayer keeps you. It really does. Jude 1, 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Amen.
Don't stop praying till you get to heaven. Because when you get to heaven, there's no need for prayer anymore. You'll just be praising.
Hallelujah.
You'll be just worshiping a holy God and acknowledge him and having him there. So prayer makes a difference in your life. Whether you bend your knee or prostrate yourself on the floor, sit down, put your face in your hands, walk and pray, find a closet of prayer, whatever it is, go up against a wall and pray. Whether you pray like you were at a wailing wall, whatever you're doing, however it is, just pray.
Amen.
I never go to this pulpit unless I pray. I believe you need to pray before you preach.
Amen.
You don't need to preach and then pray. Did I get okay? You need to pray and then preach.
Yes.
So you can look to God and say, you did great.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Too many people sitting in pews today don't understand what the power of the Holy Ghost is anymore. We're living in a world that's allowing things to go on when the power of the Holy Ghost, if Christians would stand and pray, would stop. You see, prayer brings courage. And when you have courage, you can say, this isn't right. But when you're not praying, you're weak and you don't know how to respond. And so when something happens, you just go along with it. You go with the flow. It's going to be all right. It's not right. The Bible says that it's not right. Then it's not right.
Amen. 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 My Lord.
Second thing that we need to deal with today is the power of praise.
Yeah.
You see, when a people don't pray, they don't know how to praise.
All right.
See, if you're not spending time with the one who's made your soul whole, who has cleansed your heart, who has renewed you, refurbished you, re-strengthened you, regenerated you. He kick-started your engine when it was dead. He drained out the old oil of the world and he poured in the oil of the Holy Ghost. Started you up. And if you don't pray, you won't know how to praise. Moses had such a task ahead of him. He complained 11 times when God talked to him at the burning bush. Could you imagine if I was talking to a burning bush, I'd be going, yes, Lord, 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 yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. I'd be doing everything I possibly could. Praise God. I'd be all over it. You know what I mean? But there it is. He's there and God has given him a destiny. Now hear me. Now God is giving him a destiny. And he's complaining about the destiny that God is giving him. When God gave me my calling, my destiny, I started running so far ahead, he had to stop me and say, hey, you're getting too far away. You can't hear me. But he started complaining. He can't speak. I stutter. I don't have the goods. Who are they going to say I am? Who should I say sent me? He went through all this. I can't. I won't. So there. But God said, you can, you will, and here's Aaron, and here's who's sending you, here's what you got, here you take this staff, because this staff is not representing you, it's representing my power. I may preach in a minute now. It's representing my power. Moses was astounded when he saw what God did. He marched out of, after 400 years. Most of us give up in 40 minutes. 400 years of slavery. I'm going to say something spiritual here. I already have, but I'm going to say something, take you a little deeper, and I'm going to pull you back so you don't drown. When God puts you into something, sometimes it gets to be like slavery. But he's got a plan to get you out.
Come on.
See, we don't look at his plan to get out. We just want to complain about being in there. But he's going to take you out. He's got a plan. 400 years. Do you remember what he said to Moses? I have heard their cry.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
He had such a plan that when they crossed the Red Sea, he fulfilled his promise. They will never bother you again.
My Lord.
And they sang and danced on the other side. But as they began to march, the Amalekites came up on them. You know, because there's always folks dragging in the back. Always. You know. They're the draggers. They're the ones that hold the church from growing. They're the ones that always got this, but God loves them just as much as he does. Amen. They're dragging. They're just pulling on everything, dragging. The Amalekites are getting them. The devil, in other words, getting them, tearing them down, killing them even more spiritually, taking them to where they can't even, you know, understand what church is anymore. Almost like the church in America right now. They forget what church really is. It isn't a fantasy game. It's not a Parker Brothers game. It's not something that we decided to do on Sunday because we were bored from Saturday's activities. It was a time we come together to worship a glorious God who saved us and sanctified us, filled us with his power. He is worthy of praise. The Amalekites are gone, and they take Moses up to the top of the hill. And he begins to praise. And he praises, the Amalekites lose power. Are you with me now? As he's praising, the Amalekites are losing power. You can find the story in Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 12. But I want you to understand this. Is that as he praised, the Amalekites lost power. Yes. But when he dropped his hands from weariness, the Amalekites gained power. Are you hearing me today, church? You want to have a powerful church, you need to praise in church. You want to have something happen in your family at home, you need to praise in your home. You need to praise wherever you're at. Take time to praise God. It was so important that Aaron and Ur saw this going on. I don't know what they did at that moment. Maybe Ur looked at Aaron or Aaron looked at Ur. But I think somebody said this. Did you just see that? His hands are up and they're like falling back. They have no power. His hands are down and they're killing all our folks. They're pulling them back. They're pulling them away. They're making them drag. We better do something. Ur says, let's get a rock. Get a rock. Sit him on a rock. They got a rock. Put him on a rock. And then they said, listen, I'm going to lift that arm. You lift this arm. Praise God. He's on a rock. Now you rested, Moses. Don't you dare do anything else. We got you, brother. I tell you, sometimes when we see somebody not praising in our church, we need to walk up and we need to sit them down on a chair, lift their hands, and have them praise God, because praise brings victory. Praise brings victory. And I can't go through this whole chapter, but I said to the Holy Ghost, and he said, I want you to preach this part. And I said, oh, Holy Ghost, this is too classic. He said, that's exactly why I want you to preach it, because I live in the classic. The world lives in someplace else. They're trying to pull me into their modern adventures and their depth of what they want me to be like in the world. They're trying to form me into the world. I said, what, Holy Ghost? The church is trying to form me into the world. Trying to pull me into the world. And with the excuse of, well, you're sending me into the world. No, let me tell you something. This is what happened in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, verses 1 through 30. And I'm just going to paraphrase through it. Moab and the Ammonites and the other armies were coming, and they came to battle against Jerusalem, against Israel, against Jehoshaphat.
Yes, yes.
Now, this is a group of folks that have had so much glory around them, but they still didn't get it. Something like today's church. We've got so much preaching going on in this country that somehow or another we still don't get it.
My Lord.
And Jehoshaphat all of a sudden gets nervous because there's three armies coming to destroy them. And he says, we can't win. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God before me, what should I fear? What man can do unto me? God and I
God and me are the majority.
Right. You going through something today, you're all nervous? Invite God into your nervous. Watch him take that anxiety and turn it into power. Watch him take that life and turn it into prayer. Watch him take that life and turn it into praise. Watch him take down that which is trying to take you down without you even seeing him move. He will remove that which is before you, and you shall walk in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So, he did something. He had enough to stand up and call all of Israel to a fast and prayer.
Yes.
We're going to fast and pray. And everybody knew. You know, when everybody gets scared enough, they're going to fast and pray.
Right now.
I mean, I'm telling you, I've seen the worst of sinners when things go crazy. They start praying. They start fasting. You know the old statement, there's no atheist in the foxhole? That's true. Voltaire, when he was dying at the edge of his bed before he died, he said these words, "I have just seen Jesus." You see, what I'm trying to say to you is that he called a prayer to fast, and they began to cry out to God, and because of their depth of perception, and they saw what was going to happen, and this battle was going to come upon them, all of a sudden, a prophet comes into the scene, Jezebel, and the son of Zechariah, and he prophesies, and he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." I'm going to tell you something today. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. Stop taking God's battle. We don't go to battle for God. He goes to battle for us. He just brings us in so we can witness what he does. He goes on, and what a beautiful thing. It's God's. He said, "Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle." Now I want you to stop there for a minute. Just a day before, they were nervous, on a fast, incredibly concerned that everything that they have gained was going to be destroyed by these three mighty armies. The Holy Ghost comes upon a prophet. He speaks it and says, "You don't have to fight it, but I want you to go out there and see it." That'd be good enough for me. I'd say, "Thank you, God." I'd be a man. I'd be like on the floor. You know, I'd be doing everything. You know, I'd be doing everything I can. I'd be texting everybody. I don't like group text, by the way. Y'all know that. I tell you, please don't put me in your group text, even though you still do. It drives me crazy. But, you know, but that's only because I'm weird. You know what I mean? Group texts are fine, I guess. But group texts bother me because I don't know why. It's just like, why do I want to be in that group? You know. But anyhow, back onto the sermon. The point of it is that I would have at that point said, "Wow, this is really great. God's going to deal with this. We don't have to worry about it, man. Let's go do barbecue or something. Let's just have fun." But the prophet takes him further and he tells him the design.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now my design would have been this, friend. My design is I would have called everybody I once knew before I was saved and said, "I need you to use the gifts you had, because I know you're not saved and you still use them. We're going to get this. We're going to cheat them. We're going to get them. We're going to destroy them. We're going to put landmines wherever they walk. We're going to send all sorts of mean pictures and all that stuff to them. It's going to be ugly. We're going to tell them if you come any further, you're going to meet. We're going to draw a picture of the most ugliest thing in the world. You're going to meet him on the road, you know." I would do everything I possibly could to keep three armies from coming. I would send in my best fighters. I would send in my tanks. I would send in my Air Force. I would send in my Army. I would send in the Rangers. Not the Royal Rangers, but the Army Rangers. I would send in all the people that were there. I would do it. I would get them in there. Oh, my God, it would be wonderful. And then I would say way back with a total
camera that had that telephoto lens, man, and you could see like 5 miles, you know, like you're right there, and get a selfie like I was in the battle, you know, the whole thing. Do it all like that, bam, you know, everything. Do a little panorama thing, you know, do everything like that. But let me tell you something. He didn't say that. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get everybody prepared to go, but I want you to begin to praise. Oh, someone be with me. I want you to begin to praise. I want you to begin to praise. You got 3 armies coming after you. They're out to kill you. They don't like you. They hate you. They want to destroy who you represent. But I want you to get everybody together. But as you get everybody together, praise. And now that you're praising, I want you to send the choir in first. Friend, if you want victory in your home, victory in your life, send the choir in first. Praise!
Here's the church today.
Everybody lift their hands. Keep them up. Everybody's making their little altar around their problem. Around their difficulty. Around their worries. Around their fears. And the whole time they're doing that, somebody's up there saying, say amen. Give me an amen. Can I get a witness? Will you stand up? Will you sit down? Will you praise? Will you shout? Will you run? Come on, someone shout with me. And everybody, oh yeah, okay. But let me tell you, when you're walking with the King, when you're walking in the glory of his worthy presence in your life, as you're walking into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, you can't help but begin to praise Him and acknowledge Him and just tell Him how much you trust Him. Praise God. No one has to tell you to lift your hand. No one has to tell you how to praise. No one has to tell you this is how it's done. You just start doing it because He's a King and He's worthy. The enemy will go. 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 Praise God. Now what I love about the Lord is through it all. Remember Moses? When you walk out, have them visit the Egyptians' homes. And they're just going to hand you their stuff. I love God. You know, He does it big time, doesn't He? It would've been good enough just to let go, wouldn't you think? Yeah. Stop by their house and we'll give it all to you. Just knock on the door. Hi, I'm the one who used to walk by and you spit at all the time. Oh, great. I have all the silver and gold packed for you. Here you go. Here's some extra food. Hey, there's some bedding for your baby. I heard you had a new baby. Here's some bedding. Take my Macy's credit card. Enjoy. Honey, bring the American Express. They're going for a pretty long trip. Here's the American Express card. They walk out with everything. They're driving out. They were going out in funky old beat up 50 Chevys. Now they're in a Beamer. Amen. Someone drives by with the brand new Lexus. Amen. They got it all going. They are happening. God gives them all those blows. Now, these 3 armies, they get up there. They're ready. They've gone in and praised. They're just trusting God. God hadn't told them what was going to happen. They just knew that God, it wasn't their battle, but they were going into battle. So they were a bit confused, I would suspect. They show up and everybody's dead. You see, God knows how to turn the enemy against your enemy. You don't, I don't, but He does. They get there, they're all dead, and they left everything for you to take home. Took them 3.5 days to pick it up and another 6 days to get it back home. 4 days of getting all the spoils. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Let me take you back to why. Not too difficult here. Praise. They praised. They sang.
In the midst of their trouble, they sang. I tell you, it's so easy to sing when everything's going right. It's so easy to sing and praise when the car's full of gas, food's in the cupboard, you got a raise, everything's great. I mean, the sun's shining, the surf's up, you got a girlfriend finally, everything's up. That was for you, Alex. You see what I'm saying? It's everything's up, everything's going well, praise God. Mom quit protecting him. This is his first real one. Hallelujah. All the rest were pictures in a wallet. Look, I'm dating her. We don't know who they were, okay? You've met this one. Praise God. So let me tell you right now, praise God. And I'm just joking. He's had other girlfriends. We just never met him. But the point of it is that we have to understand is that when everything's going well, everything's beautiful. The clothes fit just right. Shoes are on just right. Everything's good. I mean, you're just feeling good. God's giving you wisdom. Oh, my God, I could praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give you an example. We birthed a church in Santa Cruz, as you know, and I want you all to know you're part of that. Please believe me. It's the truth. I went there one night. Everybody forgot to come. No one showed. No one. By the looks of your face, I'm saying, oh my God, well maybe I'll just go on home. No. I walked in there and prayed. Hallelujah. Then I did a Jericho walk around the chairs. On the seventh time around those chairs, I started shouting, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. Amen, I'm going to pray. The devil is a liar. Amen. You know, the enemy may not be visible. The enemy may be something that you got going on in your heart. Discouragement, yeah. Fear, yeah. Doubt. Am I doing this right? Did I hear you right? Praise.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise. Amen. Praise.
Amen.
Praise. Are you with me?
Yes.
I hope I'm preaching.
Yes,
they began to sing those praises. Everybody started to go. And they got everything back. You see, when Kathy and I took on the city of Santa Cruz, I was reminded today, Steve, when I came into this church and you were standing up here in the church dedication that day. We had just gotten here. My hair was long, had a little goat happening, and everybody, you know, all the real churchy Church of God people were looking at me like. Yeah, they got to me. I cut my hair, shaved my goat, but I remember Kathy and I going down to the Watsonville Church of God because Raymond allowed us to use it. And everybody said they were coming. And no one showed. We knelt for a half hour, 45 minutes in prayer, and then we praised. Today, we have over 400 showing up.
Praise our God.
We pastor the whole city. We're going to be in the Evangel in April's issue. A whole story on the Potter's Hand and the Acts of Love Foundation and this church. The whole issue. I was so nervous, I didn't want to do it. I talked myself out of it 100 times. Then it didn't work 100 times. I tried 101 times. And I called my spiritual father on the phone. He said, you got to do this. I said, no, I don't. You know, like a kid, you know what I mean? No, I don't. Clean your room. Why? It's dirty. I know that. Moms?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Got a witness there. But praise God. I wrote it, took pictures, got all these pictures of everything all over the place. I got more pictures than you can have pictures to have a camera to hold. All they wanted was 4 pictures, and then they told me I got to have a 1,000 to 1,100 words and contain 13 years of ministry in 1,100 words. You got to know something. That's not an easy task.
I talked with Lance. We talked about your article on the phone when I was talking to him about it. He says, "Oh yes, I remember that article, the Christmas fair, and the Christmas mall, excuse me, and everything that Steve did in North Carolina and Charlotte." And it was the whole thing. I'm thinking, you know, how am I going to do this? Lance writes me back last week and he says, I sent it to him, and this is what I said. I said, "Here's the article. I said, I hope you like it. It's 1,672 words. And if you include the bio, which I hope you do, there will be more. What do you think? Let me know." He wrote back. He said, "I cannot wait to write this article in the Evangel in the April edition." No one showed up. Now we're going to be in a magazine. Not because of me. It's because we pray. We pray. We believe God. We thank God for His calling. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 18:3, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Hallelujah. It doesn't say, "So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." It says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." The first step is to pray. I'm calling on the Lord. Second step is to praise. Hallelujah. And you shall be saved from your enemies.
Amen.
Praying and praising. The famous classic story, Silas and Paul.
Amen.
I know people today. That place stunk. There was urine on the floor. They didn't have no toilets. I'm telling you. There was hay on the ground, rats all over the place, and they were shackled to a wall. Their feet weren't even touching the ground. They were hanging there. Humiliated, in stench, in the lowest part of the jail they could possibly be in. Filth all around them because they were out testifying. My God, let the church go out and testify again.
Hallelujah.
We can testify real good inside of sterile walls, but when you get outside, let me tell you something, testify.
All right.
This is what the Lord spoke to me in December of 2013. Every time you speak, I don't care if it's a room full of overseers, bishops. You know everybody got saved because you prayed them through. You invite people to receive me.
Yes, amen.
He said 2014 is a year that I want to harvest kingdom wide. Always ask for salvation. Always. I said, "Thank you. Thank you." They were in that jail cell and they literally began to praise and sing. I got to give those guys kudos. Most folks would have been saying, "I am so stinking uncomfortable, man. How do you feel? Why did you have to do that publicly today? Paul, couldn't you keep your mouth quiet just one time?" Dude, don't you see that we are like really in trouble now? They're not coming in here. It's dark. I don't even know if I'm speaking to you because I really can't see you. It's so dark in here. Are you there? And all of a sudden he heard Paul probably going, "Lord God, I believe you're here with us. I believe that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. I believe on that road to Damascus, you spoke to me to reach the world and to don't hesitate. I believe you blinded me for 3 days so I could see what I would be without you. But then when they came by and he laid hands on me and my eyes were opened, I could see again for the first time in my life through the eyes of someone saved. They hung me out a window to get me out of the city because they were coming to destroy me. People were afraid of me, God, because of who I was and how I murdered your people and how I was coming after them, how I stood there as Stephen was stoned and his clothes were gathered at my feet. But you saved me. I just want to praise you right now. I'm going to start to sing a song from my heart, God, that will acknowledge your holiness and your worthiness and your lordship and your kingship. And you are the one, oh God, hallelujah, that is worthy to be praised. I will forget not all your benefits, oh God, that you daily load upon me. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You are my deliverer, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, Silas chimed in on the hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty. Praise be to the King of Kings. Praise be to the King of Kings. Maybe the jailer down the road said, you all better be quiet down there. I'm going to come down and thrash you. They began to sing even louder. We glorify the Lord. We magnify our King. Praise be unto the one. Praise be unto the one. We can't lift our hands as high as we want, Father, but our wrists are bent up towards you. Praise be to the Lord our God. In this darkness, in this pain, in this anguish, we praise you, God. Then all of a sudden the walls shook. There was an earthquake sent from glory. The shackles fell off, and praise be to God, they were loosed, set free, and they brought the jailer's household to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I hope I'm preaching today. Lift up the hands that hang down. March straight through the flood. And lo, the waters will divide. The Red Sea will open. The Jordan will part. And the Lord will lead you through to victory. Lastly, but certainly not last because it's least, the power of purpose.
Yes, yes.
So you can pray and praise and beautiful things are going to happen. But you got to know what your purpose is.
My Lord.
And the devil will try to tell you every once in a while, you should be doing something else. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's ever preached the gospel has heard that one. You should be doing something else.
Yep.
Anybody's ever taught Sunday school? You should be doing something else. Everybody goes to church one time, get convicted at church, so you need to go to another church. You need to go down there because they don't preach like that. They got a little tickle machine. They tickle your ears and make you feel fancy and good. The Holy Ghost wants to make you feel whole and wholesome. He don't care about fancy. You know why he don't care about fancy? Because there's nothing on earth that compares to heaven. He wants to get you up to that fancy. Somebody with me on that one? Praise God. My first ministry in Santa Cruz in 1977. And yes, it was a ministry to the homeless. Across from Shopper's Corner. 60 to 80 people there. We had church every Sunday. Church throughout the night, but we fed. But on Sunday morning, we had church. And at that time, we belonged to the Church of God in Christ. I was a minister in the Church of God in Christ. My father-in-law, Pastor Louis, was an elder. We joined the All Nations Church of God in Christ in Santa Cruz, and Bishop Mathis and his church came over from Prayer Garden and anointed us. And we were having church a couple weeks later. And there was a boy sitting down there with blonde hair, baby-faced boy. Must have been 17, 18 years old. But he stunk. He stunk so bad, no one would want to sit by him. He had an infection in his nose and pus was running out of him. He was the son of a lieutenant colonel in the army that was stationed in Florida, and he ran away from home. He stunk so bad that everybody moved away. I'm going to tell you what God said. Go sit next to him. Put your arm around him. Tell him you love him. But after you do that, tell him how much I want him to get back home to his dad. Tell him to forgive his father, for I've already dealt with his dad. Get him to be bathed. Clean out that infection and put some new clothes on him and get him home. And that's what we did. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you begin to find your purpose in life, you'll do anything God tells you to do. Don't look for men to understand you. People ask me all the time, how do you do what you do? Here's my answer. I don't know. How do you pastor two churches and run a foundation that's pastoring a whole city? How do you do it? I don't know. Well, why do you do it? It's my purpose. And there's power in purpose. If the devil can keep you off track, he really doesn't care if you pray every once in a while. He doesn't even care if every once in a while you praise, because that's what he expects of you. But if he can keep you not being aligned to the chief cornerstone and following why you were called, if he can get you being hungry after somebody else's ministry, hungry after somebody else's flair, hungry after somebody else's identity, if he can get you feeling like that's what you need to be like, then he's got you where you'll never fulfill what God has birthed you on this earth for. God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
Purpose is walking in your destiny. God's plan for your life, in other words. That's too many people sitting in the pews today. They're not even walking anymore. They're sitting because they could never find their purpose, because they were looking for their purpose in somebody else's purpose.
My Lord, my Lord.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm almost done. God walked with the first Adam and his wife Eve. That was their purpose. To walk with God in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve had a purpose to walk with God. The devil got them off their purpose. It wasn't about disobeying. It wasn't about anything of the sort. It was about getting them away from their purpose, being the first creation of God to live holy and pure before a God who's holy, just, and pure. They got off their purpose and they walked out of their purpose. Man walked away from his destiny, but God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 and 4.
Yes.
They came back through Jesus Christ. We've been saved by grace. I thought for sure I was born to be a gangster. I thought for sure I was born to be a fighter. I thought for sure I was born to be an addict. I thought for sure I was born to be a Hell's Angel. I thought for sure I was born to be a hippie. I thought for sure. But God had other plans. My mother-in-law, Theda Pagan, in a charismatic prayer meeting in Bel Air, Maryland, back when my wife was just 16 years old, out away from God and away from the house, my mother-in-law gets a word from God in prayer with a group of ladies and men there full of, hear me now, full of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Not just a prayer meeting, but a prayer meeting with people full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Not those whole bands saying, well, can we get to dinner? Hurry, preacher, I got lunch. None of that stuff. Full of the Holy Ghost. 16 years old. I'm 19. I'm in Europe. I'll say it. Selling drugs. Biggest drug dealer on the whole army base. I'm making money. I'm enjoying life. I'm living in Europe. I'm traveling to Switzerland. I'm traveling to Amsterdam. I'm traveling all over. I went to Munich, Germany. I'm enjoying life. I went to Paris, France. I went down to Champs-Élysées. I was there to Notre Dame. I walked to the Eiffel Tower. I was up on a... I was having life! In that prayer meeting, the word comes to my mother-in-law. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
Can you give me the moments I need? Don't worry, Theda. The Lord spoke. Don't worry, Theda. The daughter you're so concerned about and have this anxiety about is going to marry a pastor. God had our destinies meet in Santa Cruz, California. That's the woman that she was prayed that promised that, and I'm the man that God spoke it when she was out in sin and I was out in sin. Parents, I'm saying your kids have got a promise They've got a destiny. Believe God. 400 years they waited. Believe God. Enoch walked with God and kept on going, the old statement. We're close to my house, let's go to my house. He walked with God. That was his destiny.
Yes.
To walk with God. Can I say something to your spirit? That's your destiny, to walk with God. That's been your whole destiny since you've been called, is to walk with God. Walk with God in a tender way. Walk with God in North Carolina. Walk with God in Cherokee. Walk with God with two campuses. Walk with God away from what you knew more than anything else in the world. To walk with God so you can reach a global world instead of a small area. To walk with God. That is your destiny, Pastor Steve. That is who you are in the kingdom. God has called you to walk with Him. Hallelujah. Someone shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Moses wanted to walk, wanted God to walk with him. So God took a walk by in Exodus 33. See, Moses gets a word from the Lord, says, you need to go up here now. Take everybody, go up. I'll send an angel to go with you. Moses, I love him. I love Moses. He says, I don't want an angel. Lest you go, I'm not going. You ever read that in Exodus? Lest you go, I'm not going. You can send all the angels you want. I want you to go, God. God loved that and said, I'll go with you. How many of you need to say that today? God tells you to do something. You need to say, I'm not going anywhere till you go. I'm not going anywhere till you go. You can give me the biggest angel you got. Send Gabriel, send Michael. Man, send the whole cherubim seraphim if you want. Send all of glory. But I want you there. And then Moses took it a step further. Before we start walking God together, show me your glory. I want to know my purposes of you. I want to know what's going on. Show me your glory. And he picked him up and he stuck him in the cleft of a rock. You and I have been picked up one day out of the miry clay and we put our feet upon a rock. We've got a sure foundation. He was stuck there in a type, a foreshadow of Jesus. He got stuck in Christ. God walked by him, wouldn't show him his face, but he showed him what he looked by as he walked by. And all the abundant mercy and kindness and goodness that he saw, he knew then from that day forward. Study it out. Moses may have failed. He may have got to the promised land because of his anger, but he never stopped walking with God. Amen.
Yes.
He must have did something right in the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there.
Yes.
Wow. Let me just take you through one other story real quick. Joshua comes to a place in his life where he's called to his purpose. See, he thought his purpose his whole life was to do one thing, serve Moses. Some of you, by the sound of my voice, whether it's digitally or whether it's in this auditorium, you may think it's to serve a pastor. You may think it's to serve someone. One day God's going to wake you up. And he's going to call you into what you are destined to do.
My Lord.
See, now I got you out there so deep right now, I heard some gurgles. Did you hear what I just said? One day, don't try to hurry God. Joshua never tried to hurry God. But Moses came and laid hands on him and said, God told me. And he imparted the gifts that he needed.
Hallelujah.
To go out in his destiny. Too many people, secondly, are walking in their destiny without the laying out of hands first.
My Lord.
Without the wisdom given. Without the knowledge of how to lead given. They're just out there flailing around trying to figure out what to do. Going to internets and dropping down messages to preach. Oh, stop that.
My Lord.
The best internet is God's net. Get on your knees. You know, I pray a simple prayer. You want to know what I pray, Pastor? Every week I pray this. I get on my knees. I pray and I praise. And then I say this, Holy Spirit,
pour into my heart that which you would have me to speak to the people this week. And I've got so much faith, I'm going to walk away.
Sometime in the next day or so, he drops it in there. Hallelujah. Drops the message, the points, the scriptures, and everything. I can just go and type it. How do you improve on that? I don't need to go to the internet and find somebody else's message that has 12,722 hits, who's got some sort of a flagship name that if he or she speaks, everybody's got to listen. I'm going to listen to the one who gave them the flagship message, who gave them the message, who gave them the money to put up such an internet connection. I'm going to go to the one, and let me tell you something, God wants to hear from all of you. Moses lays hands on him and he gets the thing going. God tells him, opening verse, Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I am giving them. The children of Israel. Every place that your sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How powerful is that, where we see his destiny, the rules to walk in his destiny given to him by the Lord. As I mentioned, Moses laid hands on him, praise God, and he had the opportunity to move forward and bring people into their own destiny. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. When God touches you, then you have the opportunity to share that power with other people. You know, David asked for God to teach him his ways in Psalm 25, 4-5. Teach me your ways. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Hallelujah. Praise be to the one who is our God forevermore. There is nothing that we cannot do when we walk with God. Everything that is in our life is given to us by the Lord when we serve him wholeheartedly. He's able, according to Ephesians 3:20, by the power that works within us, he's exceedingly, abundantly able to do all that we ask or think. You see, even Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, in my close right now, I just want to say to you that it is important that you know your destiny and your purpose. The power of the Holy Spirit is not to wink an eye at. One should not take this power flippantly or place it aside to contain the world and its pleasures. The weakness that is portrayed becomes a strength for the enemy. He then can conquer those who may just have the opportunity to bring change to a powerless and grief-stricken world. Prayer, praise, and purpose will make a difference on this earth. His aim is for us to make a difference, even as he did. In John 14:12-14, in my closing scripture, it says this,
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you forevermore.